How many of you had your heart blessed this morning with the ministry of Dr. Holland? I tell you, what a blessing for her. Dr. Holland, would you come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart tonight?
Thank you so much, Pastor. I once again want to say thank you for the privilege of being able to be with you. As a young preacher boy, I was in I graduated from Tennessee Temple, and things are so different today, Pastor, than they were in the 70s. I graduated in 1970. Now, I was 23 years old, 22, almost 23. And my wife was expecting our first child, Angie. And we loaded up and we moved in with my mom and dad temporarily. And I went and started knocking on doors in Roanoke, Virginia, which was 50 miles from Lynchburg. And I would get up every day and go there and knock on doors and try to find folks, somebody that wanted to start a church. 8 weeks went by and nobody. 8 weeks. Finally, a man and his wife and two children said that they thought they might come. I went to that place where I told you I had been a cook. Well, the home office was in Roanoke, and I went to see Mr. Parrish, Archie. We called him Pop. I said, Pop, I'd like to, could I rent a room? And he said, rent a room. I want you to come take over this restaurant. And I said, no, God's called me to preach. And he said, well, I won't rent you a room, but you can have one free upstairs. And so I put the word out we were going to meet. And that Sunday, the next Sunday morning, a little black Volkswagen drove up. A man, his wife, and two children got out. And that was the beginning of the Berean Baptist Church. And I stayed there for 19 years. God bless that ministry. We were able to see it grow. We started a Christian school. When I left the last year, we had over 300 students. We had over 100 students in our child development center. We called them daycares back then, but that's not politically correct now. You can't say that. And so God bless that. God bless that ministry. But as a young preacher, preaching every Sunday, you always having to come up with sermons. One day I was walking across the parking lot. I had gone to see my pastor, and I heard this female voice, Rudy, Rudy. And I looked, and it was Mom Soward. She was an older lady, and many, many young men had surrendered to preach out of her Sunday school class. But nonetheless, she was calling me, so I went over to see what she wanted. And she said, Rudy, she said, you know, you one day you're going to need a sermon. And I thought to myself, I need one today. I mean, you know, I need one. But anyway, and she said, let me give you a thought. She said, sometime when you need a sermon, why don't you preach on the sweet peas of Psalms 23? I said, Mom, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, well, think about it. And she began to quote Psalms 23. And as she quoted them, she said, now this is a sweet pea. Now this is a sweet pea. Now, this is a sweet pea. Now, the truth is, she looked at me and she said, do you have an ink pen? And I said, well, yes, I have my coat on. I have pulled out my ink pen. She said, do you have a piece of paper? Well, I happen to have a little piece of paper. She said, write it down. So I wrote it down. I kept that paper for years. I did not preach a sermon on the sweet peas. Some time ago, though, I remembered that, and I remembered the sweet peas. And the Lord laid it on my heart to finally, after all these years, put it into some thoughts. Psalms 23 is written by David. It's called the Psalm of David. Many are. But it was probably written when he was an adult. But he wrote it as he reminisced about the days when he was a shepherd and taking care of his flock. And as he writes it, though, he writes it not from the perspective of being a shepherd. He writes it from the perspective of being a sheep. And this psalm has become a real comfort to many, many people in the times of death. Many funeral homes will have on the obituaries and the announcements that they have, they will have a copy of Psalms 23. I have done many, 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 many funerals, and I have often made reference to Psalms 23. But I want to introduce you tonight to the sweet peas of Psalms 23. I delivered this message some time ago. This is the second time I've ever given it in Moorhead, Kentucky. And I got a text from one of the members of that church some weeks ago, and she said, I never sat down to a plate of peas that I don't think about, the sweet peas of Psalms 23. That's the kind of thing that I like because I know they're going to remember what the Word of God had to say. So if you have your Bibles tonight, I'm not going to keep you long. I just want to very quickly go through Psalms 23 with you, and let's consider together, if we may, the sweet peas of Psalms 23. Now, first of all, most of us could quote it, could we not? But I want you to, instead of quoting, I want you to look at it in the pages of the Word of God if you have your Bibles. Notice what it says. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to just read it and make my points as I go. Here, the David said, Jesus is my shepherd. The first sweet pea in the psalm is the sweet pea of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with our shepherd. Here he says, he's my shepherd. Now, in John chapter 10, verses 11, 14, Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20, Jesus is identified as the great shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 25, we see Jesus as the chief shepherd. But David here refers to him as my shepherd. That's a personal relationship. And David took the position of the sheep and looked to his heavenly Father and said, he's my shepherd. And he said, because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. Wow, what a statement. Let me tell you a story. Now, I recently, a year or so ago, two maybe, I read this, what I'm about to tell you, in a book of illustrations somewhere or something. I don't even remember where I read it. And so it's in print. But I'm not giving to you as something I read in print. I'm giving to you what something personally happened to me. I was pastoring a church in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. And I had a dear lady who taught Sunday school, had been working with children for years. I don't even remember her last name. Her name, I remember is Marie. One Sunday morning, Marie came out of a little, I think it was a three-year-old class, and she said, hey, Pastor, I've got something I've got to tell you. And she was just grinning from ear to ear. I said, what is it? Marie, she said, today I was teaching our children Psalms 23. And she said, I was trying to help them memorize it and repeat it. And I'd say, now the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And she said, but there was one little girl in that class. She kept standing up and she said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. I said, well, Marie, she may not be quoting it right, but she sure does have an understanding of what it means. The Lord is my shepherd. I know him personally, and that's all I want. The sweet pea of knowing Jesus personally as your shepherd. Now, notice, if you will, he goes on to talk about and mention the things that he would not want for. He says in the next verses, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Two sweet peas there. Let me give you the first one. First of all, there's the sweet piece of provision. The sweet pea of provision. He said he leads me into the green pastures. Now, the pastures, in my mind, most of the commentators say it's speaking of a place of rest. That's fine. But in my mind, it speaks more of more than just a place of rest. It also speaks a place of provision, because shepherds would move their sheep to higher ground as it got hotter, to where they could find green pastures so they could have something to eat. Hey, isn't it a wonderful thing how God provides for your needs? The sweet pea of knowing that we have a God who will meet and supply our every need. Oh, I could stand here and tell you story after story. And I'm sure you have your testimonies too of how God has so wonderfully provided your needs all through life. I look back over my life and I'm almost amazed at how God has supplied so many times. When I went away to college, my dad worked at General Electric, and I have two sisters. One of them just 18 months, my junior. And dad said, son, I'll do all I can to help pay your way, but you're going to have to get a job and work. And I paid my way through college. And I remember going and telling my dad, Dad, don't worry about giving me any money. I'll make my own way. You take care of paying the girls. And I remember going and trying to find a job. And I don't know how many of you know anything about Chattanooga, but there used to be, and it still is, now there's two locations, a place called Wally's. And it was just a few blocks from Tennessee Temple, and it was kind of the place where everybody went. They had this thing you could get, and if I can remember what they called them chili fries. And you could get a plate this big, that stacked that deep of French fries, one big scoop of chili, and then they would cover it with cheese, and then they put onions all over it. Now, I got heartburn just saying that. But when you're in college, man, that fill you up. And I don't remember what it cost, but it was just a little bit. You could get that and maybe a Coke if you had a few extra dollars, if not a glass of water. And I look back and I remember how many times I barely had enough money to buy food that I needed. And I went to Wally's, though, by the way, and I asked him, did he need a cook? Now, remember, I've been cooking steaks and prime rib and lobster thermidors and Newburgs and the gratins and all of that. And he said, yeah, can you come to work tomorrow? And I remember I started to work for 85 cents an hour. 85 cents an hour. But I could eat all them chili fries I wanted. You know, and I remember so well thinking how wonderful it was that God had given me a job working in Wally's. And from that, I can tell you on and on, my Lord shall supply all of your needs. You know, when you get older, you become a little more sensitive to how your needs are going to be met. When I was in my 40s and 30s and even in my 50s, I really didn't give much of a thought. I said, shoot, I can get a job. The Lord opened the door for another ministry. I can pastor a church. Do you know how many churches want a 74-year-old pastor? None. It's over. You can stick a fork in me. I'm done. I mean, so somebody said, well, why don't you just take a church? Okay. You know one that wants a 74-year-old pastor? No. I'm afraid not. But I never thought. But the older you get sometimes, the more concerned you are. Will my retirement last? Will Social Security really continue? And I think that's a valid question to ask now. How will we make it? Oh, can I tell you, I've got an answer to that. I just put that thing to rest. Because my Heavenly Father is my provider. I heard someone say in a camp meeting last year, the year before last, made a statement I've never forgotten. Learn to trust the supplier, not the supply. Boy, that's a good statement. You see, the sweet pea that He will provide. Now, don't you notice the next thing He said in that, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, I did a study, and matter of fact, I read a couple of books on shepherding and sheep. And I found out that they are very, and I'm going to use a North Carolina term, they're very skittish. They're easily frightened. And because of that, the shepherd, in trying to find a place for them to refresh themselves and get water, he would not look for the rushing streams because the noise and the rushing water would often scare them. But he looked for the still pools of water. And in the serene setting of the pools of water, the sheep would come around and refresh themselves. The sweet pea of His peace. Have you ever been in the midst of the toils and the tribulations of life and you just needed a place to be still and be quiet. And the Lord would provide you that place, give you that opportunity just to be alone with Him. Refresh yourself. The sweet pea of His peace. Then I want you to notice, we'll go on through the psalm. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me beside the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. There's another sweet pea, isn't it? The sweet pea of His presence. Never alone. No, never alone. Someone asked me a few days ago, said, do you ever get lonely in the motel rooms? Yes. But not for long. Because He is with me. You ever get lonely when you're driving down the road tomorrow for 7 hours? Alone. No. Because I'm not alone. Thou art with me. Now here it talks about the valley of the shadow of death. I'll not be alone when it comes time to say goodbye to this old life and hello to my Savior. He'll be with me. The sweet pea of His presence. Never, never alone. The sweet pea of His protection. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod is an instrument of defense. His staff is a instrument for guidance, but God is our protector. He's our defense. He guides our lives. The sweet pea, our protection. Wow. The sweet pea of His protection. You know, COVID is rampant. I told you, I got a call last night from a pastor in Orlando where I was to preach a week from Sunday, and Sunday after next, and having to cancel services because his wife has COVID and he suspects he has it. I've been protected. God has watched over me. Somebody said, aren't you afraid to go out and preach? No. No. I'm a little bit oblivious to that. Back when the earthquake came, you mentioned that today, to Haiti. I happened to be on a medical mission trip in the Dominican Republic, and the word came that they were in dire need of some doctors and medical help. I got our team together, it was 40-some of us, and I said, what about it? They said, let's go. We made arrangements to get some old rickety buses and traveled across Dominican Republic, crossed into Haiti and on what they called roads, not much roads. We made our way to a field hospital, acres and acres of tents. And they were flying the victims of the earthquake that had limbs removed and other injuries dealt with, and they would fly them from the Mercy ship over to this field hospital, set up like a medical field hospital. But there were no doctors there to give continuing care. We got off the bus, and I said, let's go. And we went and dispersed. Our nurses, Candy Torgerson, went and organized all of the supply room. Our doctors went in and started to go into the tents and find out who needed pain meds and whose dressings needed to be changed and so on and so on and so on. And we went. And I went knowing that I was putting myself in harm's way. The sanitation there was terrible. We carried crackers and Vienna sausages, which that's pretty good eating far as I'm concerned. I'm a country boy. Pork and beans, and somebody said sardines. Yeah, we had some of them too. I don't like sardines. We carried our own water. We did not use bottled water there. We had our own water. But we went at a risk. But it's what God called us to do. You say, did anybody get sick? I did. I mean sick. And we have one shot of an antibiotic. And Dr. Ben Turner went and got it and said, "Pastor, I've got one shot if you want it." And they gave me that shot, and 2 days later I was fine. I was back at it. But I went knowing. I went to Uganda. In order to go to Uganda, I had to get a series of shots. I had to take malaria pills before and after the trip. There was a risk. But I knew God would take care of me if I was doing his bidding. You say, "Why are you saying that?" I'm not trying to impress you what I've done. I'm just trying to tell you that sometimes we get so overwhelmed with all these fears. Now, I think you ought to take all the precautions. You ought to wear a mask. You ought to stay 6 feet apart if you can. You ought to wash your hands a lot. I mean, I do all that. I mean, don't be foolish. On the other hand, realize that your real protection is that hand of protection from the God who loves you and cares about you. The sweet pea of his rod, the sweet pea of his staff. He is our protector. Let me give you the last one. The sweet pea of a place beyond this life. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, we talk a little bit about heaven. I wonder how many of us really believe it's real. But it is. Heaven's a real place. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Heaven's not only a real place, heaven is being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sweet pea of a promise of a place beyond this life. It's a place of reunion too, by the way, and I believe that. I have all kinds of questions as a pastor about heaven. And, you know, will we know each other? I quote Dr. Lakin a lot because I loved his humor. So he said, "Somebody asked me, would you know each other in heaven?" He said, "I'd hate to think I was dumber in heaven than I am on earth." And I don't know if that's a good theological answer, but it makes sense to me. Let me tell you a little story. I'm looking at the clock. Let me tell you a little story. Having a Christian school and having little children is a real blessing in a lot of ways. One day I had my K-5 teacher came and said, he said, "Pastor, we're discussing heaven, and I'm getting some questions from these kids I can't answer. And would you mind coming?" I said, "Sure." So I go in, I'm standing there, you know, I'm the Reverend. Dr. Holland, you know. Bring it on. This one little Hispanic girl stood up, and she said, "Will there be any animals in heaven?" Well, I began to explain this with deep theological truth. We as human beings have a soul, and that soul lives beyond this life, and we go, but there's no evidence of animals, the dogs, the cats, and so on, to have that they would have eternal souls. And she said, "Well, I thought we were coming back riding on white horses." I said, "Then there may be some animals in heaven. Maybe." I don't understand all about heaven, but I know it's a real place. I know I'm going to see my Savior, and I believe we're going to be reunited with those who've gone on before us. And that's a sweet pea for me to hold on to as I travel through life. The sweet pea of a place beyond this life. However, to enjoy the provisions, the peace, the protection, the promise of the place beyond this life, it begins with knowing the Lord is my shepherd. Not a shepherd. Not even the shepherd. He's my shepherd. Now I want to close tonight and ask you a question. Is he your shepherd? Do you know him personally? I didn't say you know about him. Do you know him? You know him. If you don't, we'd love to introduce him to you tonight. And then you can sit down and enjoy a luscious plate of sweet peas. Peas of his provision. Peas of his peace. Peas of his protection. Peas of a promise of a place beyond this life called heaven. The sweet peas of Psalms 23. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll use these simple thoughts, and Lord, they are simple, to remind us of the great privilege that is ours to know Jesus as our Savior. Lord, I cannot speak for others, but every once in a while, Lord, I just need to sit down and go back and think about the simple things that are mine because of you. The sweet peas. Sometimes I become fearful of how I'm going to pay all those bills. How long will the retirement last? What about the surety of Social Security? What would I do? And then I remember. You'll lead me to the green pastures. You'll provide. Sometimes my heart gets weary and the fears of life seem to creep in. And then you come, and in the quietness of some moments, I refresh myself in the still waters of your goodness and your grace. And peace floods over my soul. Sometimes I become fearful. The nights are long, the roads are dangerous, and so many other things. And then I remember, just take a big helping of the sweet peas of your protection, because your rod and your staff, they're with me. Lord, as I travel down this road, and I've traveled many miles now, I don't have as many ahead of me as I've got behind me. And I know one day life's going to come to a close if you tarry your coming, but that's all right, because you've promised a place beyond this life, the sweet peas of a place in heaven. Lord Jesus, may Psalms 23 become alive to all of us tonight. And may we sit down together around a bowl of sweet peas from Psalms 23. If there's one here who doesn't know you as Savior, may they come to know you tonight. Bless the pastor as he comes and closes the service in Jesus' name. Pastor.
What a blessing tonight from God's Word. I've told you many, many times about growing up, and my mom would serve me black-eyed peas and sweet peas, and I would find places to squish them up underneath the table. Yeah. And run to the restroom and spit them out and flush them down the toilet. But these are sweet peas that will benefit your soul. And I am blessed. And if you would rather be at home watching a Super Bowl right now, God help you, because you got a blessing tonight from the Word of God that Patrick Mahomes will never give you, or Tom Brady. All right? You got the blessing of hearing God's Word preached with the power of the Holy Spirit.